Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Shartok. Violin virtuoso Madeline Parnas will be in our region this weekend for two performances. She'll appear at the Hudson Opera House this Saturday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. As a Berkshire Music School alumni, she'll be giving the headline performance at the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield this Sunday, April 3rd at 4 p.m. for the Berkshire Music School's 75th anniversary gala. We'll talk with Madeline Parnas about all of this, but first, welcome Madeline.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, I have to say, your publicity photo is on all of the publicity for these two events is such a beautiful work of art. Did you have to work on that one, or did they just come up with it?
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. It was actually part of a really fun photo shoot that I did with my sister Cicely a few years ago. And to be honest, going into those things, I always try to focus just on the dress and the music. And I sort of leave the rest up to the photographer, but thank you so much.
Well, they did a great job. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Okay, so now, what age did you start playing the violin?
I started exactly 20 years ago now, when I was 5, which was a year after starting the piano, which was really my sort of my first love with music. It just drew me in immediately.
Do you think there's a gene, a music gene? I often ask people this. I think I asked Yo-Yo Ma, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, is there a music gene, you're born with it, either you have it or you don't?
I think it's a mixture of everything. But yes, I think there is something that a lot of musicians are just born with right away. And I think a lot of parents of musicians can testify that from unusually young ages, before perhaps they've even been exposed to much music, they'll be singing and have perfect pitch or exhibit these talents that are evident right away. But I don't have perfect pitch, but I did just have a massive passion for music of all kinds when I was young. So.
And you went to the Berkshire Music School?
I did, yes. So many fond memories there.
And how long was it before they discovered that maybe you were a little advanced for what they did? I mean, usually you get a story like, if you've ever seen the Mario Lanza story. I'm just teasing. Okay, so.
One of my memories that I had there was playing maybe my first competition ever. I don't know if that's true, but they have a little merit scholarship competition, and I believe I was 10 when I won. And I think that was probably the first time that they had seen someone of that age come through. And, you know, I also studied with several different teachers. I was taking piano lessons, I was taking voice lessons, I was taking violin lessons, and both Cicely and I were in the string groups as well. So we were very active in the school just in general, and we're so happy there. I think just our presence alone, being there all the time for various things, was enough.
Well, it's a wonderful institution. I mean, I know that they're always looking for support, and believe me, they deserve it. I think that it goes without saying. And the Hudson Opera House, how do you come to that?
The Hudson Opera House, let's see. You know, I have, again, such fond childhood memories. I believe we started going there to different events and concerts and things from the time I was very young. And I think I was maybe 12 or 13 the first time we did a performance there. And, you know, we've always had such lovely connections there and have been so welcomed. It's a beautiful little space and just so exciting to see the work that they're doing there as well and their outreach with the community and music. And it's such a fabulous place.
Well, you know, you live, of course, you grew up in Steventown, and Steventown, of course, is the only one in America except they stole a sign, as I often say. But
yes, and so our proof of it is gone.
Yeah, proof is gone. Okay, so I wanted to ask you, which way did you gravitate? Did you go towards the Berkshires, where I live, or did you gravitate towards Hudson, which is, you know, sort of the rising Brooklyn of Columbia County?
Yes, yes, well said. I would have to say we primarily gravitated towards the Berkshires in the beginning. The Berkshire Music School alone had us driving over there, you know, several times a week. And Cicely and I both took lessons in Boston for many years. So we would drive out there once a week. And then later on in our teenage years, we started studying with new people based primarily in the Hudson Valley. So I was studying with Betty Jean Hagen, down in Hyde Park, New York, and Cicely started studying with Peter Wiley down at Bard College. So we were sort of driving all over the region throughout our throughout our years, but the Birch Shoes were definitely our starting point.
And where did you go to college?
I went to undergrad at the College of St. Rose.
Well, we know it well.
Yes.
And then did you do some graduate work, or what happened then?
Yeah. After that, so I started when I was on the young side and graduated. I was a senior by the time I was 18, and then
wow.
I went to Indiana University for an artist diploma program with Jamie Laredo.
It's a terrific,
absolutely incredible.
One of the top music schools in the world, right? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yes, just it's changed my life. I love my time at IU. And then after that, I won a 2012 Marshall Scholarship.
Wow.
And as a Marshall Scholar, I was sent to London for a year to study at the Royal Academy of Music, where I completed my master's degree. And then I returned to IU for further graduate study with Mark Kaplan. And I just finished that in December. So that's sort of the short version.
Wow. Well, yeah. Let me say that you are a heroine to many people because you came from our region, because you've done very well, because you're reaching to very important violinist status. What's your favorite piece to play? What's your favorite show-off piece?
Oh, my word. My favorite show-off piece. Well, I have to be frank because, to be honest with you, my favorite pieces are the ones that can make people cry.
Right.
You know, and the ones that really touch people and have them coming up to me afterwards and saying, that was such a special experience, that really moved me, you know. Those are my favorite types of pieces. I think they've always been mine as well. They've been the ones I've connected with. But let's see, I've played so much repertoire over the years, but I seem to always come back to the sort of French impressionistic type of style in music. You know, it's like I love Ravel and Debussy. All of that sort of influence was just so exquisite, so unique, so set apart from anything else. And aside from that, 20th century Eastern European music, like Janáček and Prokofiev, very dense and, you know, impactful music, very, very fun to play.
That's great. Where are the family roots? We're all immigrants, so where'd they come from?
So my father grew up in Boston, and my mom grew up in Columbia County.
And their parents?
My father's parents, let's see. So the heritage on my father's side, my grandfather was Russian Jewish and his wife, my grandmother, was German. She was from Kiel. And on my mother's side, the family was from Italy and Germany. So sort of a mixture of things.
That's wonderful. Are your parents proud?
Oh, well, yes, they are. Of course they are. I think my mom in particular likes to say that, you know, she likes to give the credit to us and say, you know, they're the ones who put in all the work, and so I'm proud of them of all the work that they've put in, you know.
But somebody had to get you there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is true. Oh, my word. Yes, yes. Immense sacrifice and love on their part.
That's really great. So when we show up at these two very generous and wonderful performances you're going to give, what are we going to hear?
You're going to hear some beautiful music.
Right.
First thing we're going to open with is a beautiful Beethoven violin sonata. It's the first one in his Opus 30 set. I think he composed it in about a year, between 1801 and 1802. It's not a major sonata that you hear the most often. It's sort of called the other A major sonata, but it's absolutely beautiful. I believe Beethoven dedicated it to the Tsar of Russia, and it's just such a beautiful example of, you know, that sort of bridging of the classical music era where you hear it that it's not, you know, Mozartian. It, you know, you hear the new things happening. You hear Beethoven's indelible stamp on it. And from there, we move to the solo sonata number 2 by Izay. That is also part of a set of 6 sonatas for solo violin, and he dedicated each one of them to a different violinist of his time, which I think is really, really fun because you can tell how vastly different they are in personality. And this is number 2, nicknamed the Obsession Sonata.
Ooh.
And then the final sonata on the program is Brahms number 3 in D minor. Just such a dramatic, dramatic, beautiful, beautiful piece. I do love Brahms in particular.
It's wonderful talking to you, Madeline, and you're very generous to find the time to do it with us, and we appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. We've been talking with violin virtuoso Madeline Parnas, who will be in our region this weekend for two performances. She'll appear at the Hudson Opera House this Saturday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. You can find out more at thehudsonoperahouse.org. And Madeline will give the headline performance at the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield this Sunday, April 3rd at 4 p.m. for the Berkshire Music School's 75th anniversary gala. For more information, call 413-442-1411. Madeline, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be rooting for you as you do all of this wonderful music. Thank you.
Thank you so much.